We're in the studio today with Valerie Semenuk from Second Harvest. Val, I understand you're the manager of Second Harvest.
Yes, that's correct.
And how long have you been the manager?
5 years. I have been volunteering there for 10 years, but about 5 years ago, I took over as manager.
What made you get involved with Second Harvest?
I was new to this area. I had previously lived in Alberta, raised my family in Calgary, and was working with my daughter on her ranch, raising her boys after I was on my own. And I couldn't handle the winter weather any longer, so started looking for a place to come. We'd been here many times with our children on summer vacation. It's a lovely spot. The people are so gracious and very kind. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful environment to live in. So I thought, well, this is where I'm coming.
For those people who don't know, what is Second Harvest?
Second Harvest is an opportunity for people who need assistance in purchasing their groceries for families and themselves to come in and pick up whatever we have to offer free of charge. We're open on Wednesdays from 10 until 6 p.m., so it covers most people's day, whether they're working or have children at school. And we've done that purposely. Previously, we were open for two partial days, and we couldn't accommodate all of our shoppers.
How long has Second Harvest been in existence?
Second Harvest has been in Salmon Arm for 30 years. It was originally started by a minister in one of the churches here in town, and he and several other churches got together and decided that they needed to have another resource for people to come and be able to get food without having to provide all kinds of personal information and to be checked out and so on. So it's Second Harvest. We ask your first name, how many people in your family, and that's all the information we want from you.
And where exactly is it located?
We are located at 360B Alexander, and we are actually in the rear of the Selmar Theater, directly adjacent to the Ross Street parking lot. So we're in the alley of the Selmar, right on the left-hand side as you look at the back of the theater.
How much has the need grown over the last 30 years?
Oh, well, originally, I think we were probably doing, 20, maybe 30 people. When I came on board 10 years ago, we were maybe doing 70 one day and 40 on the second day. So about 110. Our numbers have tripled, specifically tripled since COVID. And we found that many of our clients are seniors, working families, people with disabilities, and people who need assistance. We have about 175 individuals who come through our doors and about 45 two-person families, about 48 or 49 three-person families, and then we're up to 88 families total. That's people of four or more in a family.
How has your clientele changed compared to before the pandemic? What was the ratio to homeless versus families?
Actually, of all the people that we have, the lowest number of individuals we have come through our doors are people who are homeless.
Really?
Yes. That is not who is using our services and hasn't been for quite some time in the time I've been there. We basically look after families, working and non-working families. Seniors are a very big part of our shopping group. We do have probably 20 people who live on the street.
That's really interesting.
A lot of people have a real misconception as to what Second Harvest is. It is actually called Second Harvest Food Bank, but we've removed food bank because we're trying to remove the stigma of people thinking that they're coming to a place that's a nasty thing, something that should be hidden in an alley somewhere. We are a food bank. That is legally what we are. But we have changed the image to try to encourage people to come and use our facilities and our services. I've talked at length with Joel Torns over at the Salvation Army, and we've both changed that to try to raise the dignity of people using it. And we had a very good lesson last year when we had all of the fires happening. We were working with the Seniors Fifth Avenue Center. That was the registration center for people who were struggling through the fire, either had lost their homes or were evacuated. And we were providing them with food as people were being registered. They were being given food to eat and lunches and so on. So we were providing them with food for that. And when I left my cards there, I had a lady say to me, "Well, I'm not coming to your food bank." And I kind of thought, that's a bit odd. I mean, if you're in need, you're in need. And so we decided we weren't going to say the words food bank any longer because people are afraid of it. There's a real stigma around it, and there shouldn't be. We are there to help people. It doesn't matter who you are. And as I said to you, the very low percentage of people that are unhoused who come to us and the Salvation Army, there are not as many as people think there are. They're mainly seniors, families, and people with disabilities. It's really there to help people with their needs. In this day and age, and the costs of everything that we're going through with a family with children, it's impossible to have a vehicle, have a home, and feed children. It's just impossible. I find it difficult as a single person to keep up with the changes in costs. I mean, you do, but it's surprising how quickly things are going up. And so we're there as a support service to families. We're going to support what their grocery needs are. We are not feeding them all their groceries. They purchase what they need to, but they can come to us once a week, which helps them with things like bread and milk and eggs. We have meat protein every other week, vegetable and fish protein on the other weeks. We offer families double the amount that everyone else gets because we realize five potatoes aren't going to go the same distance for a family of six or eight as it does for one person. That's why I can tell you what our numbers are, because I analyze that every single week to see who is our biggest market, who are the people that are coming through, and where do we need to be placing. When I'm ordering, I need to know I've got 88 families with this many people in it. That's a big portion of our 300. We're doing 325 regularly. We've been as high as 348 in July.
Now, you mentioned milk, so that means you have a way to keep things cold?
We have a walk-in freezer and we have a cooler, which we did a fundraiser for. We get no funding from the government and we get no food from the government. It's all community donation driven. So we did a fundraiser and we've been blessed by many, many charitable groups and groups that are community groups like the Legion, like the Rotary Club, like various groups. They're very generous. They always come to us with food and with donations. And whenever we have a special need, they've come to our rescue and helped us out a lot. And the citizens of Salmon Arm are just amazing. They are so generous. And they enjoy doing it. They're happy to know that they've done something that's going to make a difference. Many of them grow things in their garden for us in the summer. We always have this saying, grow a row for second harvest. And you'd be amazed how much food a row of carrots or a row of lettuce will make a big difference for us. When I'm ordering, I'm bringing in 325 milk, 325 eggs, dozen eggs. We're bringing in everything in 300s. So it's making a huge difference to our storage issues. We're not very big. We've been in the same little spot for a long time, but we make it work. We continue to use different types of products like rolling carts and all kinds of buggies and things that help we as the people who are putting it together move around in a small space and also be successful in our storage.
If someone wanted to donate to you, what would be preferable, food or money, or does it matter?
I can tell you the food is very much appreciated. There are some caveats to that. If we're going to get a donation of fresh food, we need to have it on a Monday so that our crew of 8 to 10 people who do our prep work on Tuesday from 9 until it's finished, we need to have it all there Monday because we do distribution Wednesday. So there's a great long process. We do all the intake of our foods on Monday and then do the prep of it on Tuesday because everything is bagged and I purchase everything. The only things that we don't purchase are things that are donated to us out of people's gardens, and they're usually picked that morning. We've been very, very blessed to have the Shuswap Community Teaching Garden through Food Action Society support us with their garden every year, and they bring us large amounts of vegetables that they grow there. We're so pleased that they continue to support us, and that's where we're getting a lot of our support is through people and groups we've worked with over the past. They see we're making a difference. When we jump from 110 or 20 people to 300 and almost 50 people to be on one day, I mean, that's amazing. But they come because everything we have is fresh. We get it the day before. There's nothing old. The only thing that they will get that is frozen will be bread and meat. And it's rare for food supply groups like ours to give out meat, but we have been very fortunate to work with Second Harvest Food Rescue, who has teamed us up with local grocery stores, and they provide a great deal of meat and other items to us that would normally be thrown away, but are still good items. It's just the best before date might be tomorrow or in a week. And when they're restocking, it's easier just to take it all off and put the new on. So we get 40, 50 dozen eggs and so on. So the people who support us are very supportive. We've been very, very fortunate.
Do you find you get a lot of donations from the local grocery stores then?
We work with 3 or 4 grocery stores in town when I'm buying, because I am buying such large quantities. I shop locally. I want to be able to shop at places that are locally owned if possible. The big box stores are wonderful, and sometimes I cannot not go there because the pricing is so good. But I do try very hard to support our local people, who in turn will call us and say to us, I've got 30 cases of cherries and 30 cases of plums. Brad DeMille gave us that recently, and he's been a real benefactor for us, as has Askew's and No Frills and a number of the smaller people in town as well. But we're very fortunate to be well supported. And I think it's because we've made known what we do, how we do it. And again, taking away that phobia about a food bank. We aren't a food bank any longer. We're a food support for people. They come in and they shop just as they would in a grocery store. So we have it all there, but we don't offer it all because, again, we have to look at being able to provide 300 of any given thing. So we will establish what we will be giving out that day. And it's always eggs and milk, potatoes, carrots, and onions, and an alternate vegetable. Those are all fresh and purchased. And then we have a number of canned goods and grocery items and that kind of thing that we offer as well. It really depends on where we've been able to buy the best deal, whether it's beans or whether it's mayonnaise or, you know, one of those kinds of things. Then that will be what we're putting out on our shelves, as long as we can offer enough for everyone coming into the store. If I can't give out 300 milk, then we wouldn't be doing milk. If I can't give out 300 pieces of meat, then we won't be doing that. Because I wait now every 2 weeks and do it alternatively, because then I can make sure everybody gets the meat protein that they need. Our motto is we want to give them wholesome, fresh, nutritious food. We do limit some of the sugary items and so on because we're trying to give them the best food we can. And a lot of times people don't provide that for themselves when they do their shopping. They'll buy something that's quick to prepare or on sale or, you know, easy to make. So we try to, I mean, when we give them meat, they get roasts, they get steaks, they get sausages, bacon, any kind of a meat that a food store has. So I wait 2 weeks to be able to give all 300 of them meat choices. And of course, there's different quantities for our various groups. Our families get double what everyone else does.
Do you have any left over at the end of the day?
We did distribution yesterday, and I probably have 25 milk and maybe 30 eggs.
What happens to that?
We then donate that to other agencies in town. On the weekend, we always are very fortunate to be able to go and collect food from Save On Foods. They let us go on Saturday and Sunday and collect what they have. Some of it's deli items, some of it's frozen, some of it's fresh. Because a lot of those items from the deli have mayonnaise in them, I won't hold them until Wednesday. So we donate those to the Women's Safe Society and to the Cedars Homeless Shelter. And we also will give some of the milk, some of the eggs, and then anything that comes in from Save On Foods as well will all go out to those two agencies. We have worked with schools in the past. We have worked with some of the other agencies, the Food Action Society and so on. They are a big supporter of ours, and we try to do the best that we can to support them. They work very hard to teach people how to grow things, how to grow good things, and how to be successful at gardening in a very tiny space. And all of these things are going to help people who don't have enough cash flow to be able to go out and shop for everything you need to keep your household running.
You accept canned goods?
Yes, we do.
Recently, there's been a lot of talk about the best before date versus the expiration date. If I had some canned goods that had a best before date of yesterday, can you accept them?
The Rotary Club and the LDS Church do two food drives for us throughout the year, Rotary in the spring and the LDS Church in the fall, the Thanksgiving BC Food Banks food drive. And we get a lot of outdated food, like 17 cases worth.
Oh.
It's a lot. And so we go through all that. We go through every single can after that happens, and we look at it. What's the date? And if it's within a year for canned goods, we will keep them, but we will offer them to people outside of choices that they make when they come through. Some of it we just simply can't use, and we have to dump it because it's just very old. We've even had some from 2006.
That is a bit old.
Well, when mom and dad go into care and kids come and they're you know, trying to help out by getting everything taken care of, they just sort of put it all in a box and bring it. And I understand that because I've been in that situation too. But it is important, and we try to say as much as possible, particularly on the food drives, no expired food, so that people will at least look at it. But if we do get some and it's within the last 3 or 4 months, we will put it out. And it depends what it is, too. Some of your macaronis and that kind of thing can be kept much longer. Canned foods can be kept up to a whole year after their expiration date. And the guidelines that we follow are through the Canada Food Guide and through Second Harvest Food Rescue. They have done a lot of research on what are the best before dates. A lot of it is, I'm sorry to say, for marketing for businesses that make those products. But there are a lot, and I know we all go over our date for milk and so on, and it's just fine. Yeah.
I know that I've had yogurt in the fridge after the expiration date, and it's still good.
Mm-hmm. Well, and as soon as you look at the container, if it's bulging or if it smells, yeah, then you get rid of it. But most of what people throw out is, it's sad because it still can be used. And when you see people who will eat anything, they have nothing. Milk that might expire tomorrow, they just want the milk. and it's not going to hurt them in any way, for sure. We are very careful when we share with other community partners to make sure that we do give them the best before date materials, because of course the health department regulates what they can and can't take in. Unfortunately, that means that a lot of food that could be used isn't.
When the pandemic hit, what were the challenges Second Harvest faced?
Well, it's interesting because immediately things dropped way off. And we ourselves had to make a number of changes. If you weren't vaccinated, we couldn't have you working in the store. If people came in and they weren't vaccinated, we had all kinds of challenges trying to sort that out. What we ended up doing, we supported the Native band in Enderby. They had 25 elders who were literally in their homes and not coming out. So we provided food for them. We provided food for a group of people who were here helping out in the orchards, picking fruit and tending to vegetables. And they couldn't get out to get any food. So we took food to where they were. There was about 33 people in that camp. And so we took food to them every week. And once we found out what sort of the ethnicity was, we don't really care what the ethnicity is, but it helps us to figure out, do we buy more rice or meat, more beans? Do they, you know, eat tomato products? And so that helped us when we were buying and when we were taking food out there. And often we would say to some of the women, what kind of food would you like? And then we made sure that was what we provided them. And we were taking complete van loads out there for 33 people, I believe it was, every week for probably 6 weeks. We also found that our regular people were not coming into Second Harvest. Our families weren't coming because we do extra milk for families, so that changed our purchasing then because we weren't giving out as much milk. And so it changed a lot of things. It changed the way we buy. It changed what we buy. It changed what we could take as food donations. It's very difficult to try and be all things to everyone, but we try to hit the mark as many times as we can. And I continually analyze who the people are that are coming through. I can't really do very much about who they are or where they're from, but we can pretty much tell that when they take rice every week and lots of it, that that's a staple in their home. Potatoes are not. So, you know, we organize all of our purchasing power and all of our items we purchase based on those kinds of analysis that I do pretty much monthly at the outside. Things started to heat up a little bit at the end of 22. We started to get more people coming. And the last 8 to 10 months has just blossomed. We went from doing 180 people to 325 in a very short period of time. So then I started to track, are they new people? Are they returning people? And we found there are quite a few new people, some new Canadians, some new to the area. And so that helped us too, to see where things were growing so much and at such a rate. Many of them were families, and so our family numbers almost doubled in the last 6 months.
What about the donations? Did they drop off during the pandemic?
Actually, we were receiving great donations and quite a bit of food donated, food and finance. Now, of course, we try to keep up and to be able to do all the things we've done all along. But I am at the point now where I need to make some different choices. Financially, we're stable, but if I continue to buy in the way I have previously with how things are going up, we won't be for a long time. So we really work hard to provide as much nutritious, good, wholesome food. We have gotten rid of some of the things like the sugary cereals and things that really don't fit what we'd like to do. And so that's another way that I'm trying to cut our costs, because they have gone up. Just like we've had three times as many people coming in, our costs have gone up three times as much as well.
How do people drop off food to you?
We are open to do distribution on Wednesdays, but we are there every day working, prepping food, bringing food in, and all they have to do is give us a phone call and one of us will get down there right away if they need something or they want to bring in food. They're wise to do that because we're so busy doing so many other things that we don't stay open every day. We just don't have the volunteer community to do that. That's one of the things we're really finding is difficult right now is volunteers. We're looking desperately for more people because our people are away on vacations. We've got staff doing double and triple duty. And it gets to be tiring after a while because it's hard to be distributing food for 8 hours a day on your feet. You know, it is. And working with lifting and pulling and pushing all the food around.
How many people do you normally have on?
We have 5 in the morning and 5 in the afternoon. We have a total of 74 volunteers who do pickups, deliveries. They help in the store. They do prep. That's bagging everything. Nothing goes out in its raw state. It's usually always bagged unless it comes in the door. And we want to be able to give it to people right then. We just take it right out of the box and give it to them, because that will end up sitting until the following week unless somebody comes in an emergency situation and needs food. So we try to give everything we have away on Wednesdays. And if food comes in during our working day, we just give that out too. The earlier in the day they can bring it to us, if they have to bring it on a Wednesday, early in the day is best because it gives us a chance to at least be able to distribute it to others.
You spoke about your volunteers. You need volunteers right now.
Yes, we are definitely looking for volunteers. We're looking for drivers to do pickups and deliveries. We're looking for people to work distribution on Wednesdays. That's actually distributing the food. And people who can help us on Mondays do the intake of food. That's sometimes drivers, sometimes people working with our bread rotation. We're always rotating all of the stock that we have in our store, so we make sure we have it in a proper order for dates and so on. We're looking for people to help do stocking. We're looking for people to just generally help us with a lot of jobs that aren't really categorized, but regularly have to be looked after so we can function reasonably and well organized.
Do you find any of the volunteers talk about the rewards of being a volunteer?
People don't work in a business like ours unless they are really feeling good about what they're doing and feeling that they're making a difference. They're contributing. They may not be able to do financial or food donations, but donation of time is every bit as valuable, if not more, than the others, because if people aren't there to do all the jobs, to be able to get the food picked up and delivered and prepared and packaged, we have no business. And so those are the key people in our organization.
Have you ever had any clientele come back and volunteer?
Yes. We have a lot of people, actually, that come back and volunteer. Some will say, I had to use your service 5 years ago, and now I have the time to volunteer, and I want to give back. Many people who come through our doors often will ask if we have any opportunities for them to be able to volunteer. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Right now, as I said earlier, we're just really short on people because we have so many people away on vacations. And, you know, COVID's been gone for a little while now, more or less, and people are feeling freer to be able to take vacations. COVID and the year after, no one was going anywhere, and they weren't volunteering either because they were quite afraid of being in a large group of people. Some of our volunteers have been with us for 17 years, and so they are people that are really the roots of our business. Our two supervisors, Lee Pirard and Mel Buchanan, have been with us for 17 years, and we've been very fortunate to have them. We have a board that works very well with us. They're always knowing what's going on, approving recommendations that are being made, and we've had a lot of changes in the last 5 years. We totally redid the store. We purchased a lot of new equipment to make it easier. We were hauling around 40-pound boxes of vegetables prior to getting all of our racks and trolleys and things. So it needed to be updated too. And with that, it's made it easier to serve more people in a shorter period of time because we can manage the quantity of food a lot easier and faster.
Things dropped off during the pandemic. Have they recovered?
They've more than recovered. As I say, we are now doing three times the number of people we did pre-pandemic.
But the donations have also recovered?
We do have a fair number of donations coming in. I wouldn't say it's the same because I think a lot of people, too, are faced with high costs of their food. And so what we see are different kinds of things coming in. We'll see a case lot coming in when there's a big case lot sale at one of the major stores. Or we'll get things that we don't normally get or that we would normally use. And when people call and ask, what can we donate to you if they wish to donate food, it's always things that I would buy. Not fresh things, but things like beans and lentils and high protein foods. When we can't serve the meat protein, then that's what we offer for protein. Tuna, salmon, peanut butter, all of those kinds of things. And so that helps us a lot too, because those are items we're out there buying.
I was going to ask what kind of things would be best to donate if you had them.
Well, those, and we really do well with things like Hamburger Helper because they can make a meal out of that for several people. Tomato sauce and pasta. Our families use a lot of that because it goes a long way and we don't garner what size they can have. What we have there is what they can have. The families, again, though, would get double. So they'd get double the pasta, double the tomato sauce or cubed tomatoes or whatever they're using. We have pretty much the same things you would find in a grocery store. And when the grocery stores are coming near best before dates, they will often donate the food to us, and we make sure that that goes out right away on our next opening or as close as we can to the best before date so that we make sure it falls within the guidelines. And as I say, we do sometimes offer things that are just over, but they take it at their own risk.
What about Christmas time? Do you find that people will donate something in particular that goes with the season?
Yes. We get lots of donations that are relevant to children. We will get candy and little Santa type things, candy with attached Santas on them, or there's always something for kids. One of the things that we did during COVID was we were providing food to families who had their families at home but couldn't provide enough food for them. So we made special packages for families that had children so that things that they could make themselves when mom and dad weren't at home, when everybody was kept at home, things like Kraft dinner and soups and those kinds of things, Jellos and, you know, foods that were easy for kids to be able to eat and or prepare on their own if their parents weren't around. And that was a big hit. We try to kind of go with the season, but also go with what's happening to us and in our environment at any given time.
You're only open one day a week, and you mentioned why, but do you see that changing in the future, that there will be more open days?
Well, it all depends on where we go from here. 340 or 50 people is probably going to be our limit because we're constantly distributing when we have that many people come through the door. We have to reconsider that, and it is certainly something that we are very aware of. But whether we will make that jump or not, I don't know. The biggest issue being volunteer. There just aren't enough volunteers. available right now. And we're not the only ones struggling for volunteers. So I know there's many other charities who do such good work, but you've got people doing double and triple shifts just to try to cover. So that's something that we're aware of and certainly looking at, but not something that we can do right now.
The SALMAR Association has recently opened up the SALMAR for expressions of interest. How does that affect you?
Well, we're in close contact with them. And of course, the area or space that we're in is really not conducive to a storefront environment. I mean, we're in the basement and it's not your prime property. But we won't know until we see what's going to happen. We're very aware of that and just waiting to see what happens. We won't know until they tell us what's going on.
If you had to change locations, would you want to stay in the downtown core?
I think the important part is how you get the greatest number of people to your location. And I worry a lot about our seniors because many of them are on foot. Many of our families are on foot as well, so it would make sense to stay in the downtown core. We do very well in such a small space, and the SALMAR has graciously donated that to us for 30 years.
Why should people donate to Second Harvest?
Well, we are a locally grown charity. We've been here for many years, proven that we're here to stay. We have a very low overhead cost, 3%. And so that allows us to give the majority of the donations that we receive right back into the community to the people who need it. And obviously we don't give the cash, but we can purchase the food and we get it right back out to the people who need it very quickly.
Your lower overhead is because you're all volunteers?
We are all volunteers. Our space is volunteered. We've been very fortunate to have groups like the Rotary Clubs who have helped us get a van. And so basically our expenses are telephones, computers, and fuel.
So most of your money is going right back.
Yes, and that's the important thing that people should know. Their money's going back. The majority of it is going back to the people who need it the most.
What's the best way to contact Second Harvest?
You can email us at secondharvestshoeswap@gmail.com, or you can phone us or text us at 250-253-7270, or you can telephone our store, which does not have texting capabilities, at 250-833-4011.
Do you have social media?
We have a webpage. We have just recently had that updated. We constantly post on Facebook. We are very careful about naming people, but if they'll allow us to, we take a photo when they bring a donation of food and we take a picture with them with the food and one of our people and post that out there. We want to say thank you to people and we want businesses who contribute to us. I mean, the insurance companies, the grocery stores, the various community activity groups. It's amazing. And I want everyone to know who's helping us, to do the work that we do. So it's pretty exciting. We post everything on Facebook. We have a big Facebook page. And if people are interested in volunteering, they can download an application off of our webpage, which is www.shoeswapsecondharvest.ca. Our Facebook is Second Harvest-ShoeSwap. We should also talk a little bit about NeighborLink, who is our parent company. And NeighborLink is the registered charity, and we operate under their umbrella. NeighborLink gathers furnishings and household items that people may need if they're relocating or just married or moving for the first time out on their own. And we give them all away free. And people who contact us, kids are coming, mom and dad are going into assisted living, and they've got an apartment full of wonderful furnishings, dishes, and appliances. They call us and just say, help. Would you come and help us? And so we will go and pick them up. Our lady who looks after that is Kathy Ingebrigtsen, and she goes out, has a look, indicates what we can and can't take, because obviously some things we just simply don't distribute because they don't really work for families. And then we will pick them up, and people come to us and say, I need a refrigerator or a washer and a dryer or an oven. I need a Chesterfield, beds. We have it all, as well as dishes and appliances. And we have those available to anyone in the community that needs them. So they actually are a very big part of what and who we are, because they started before Second Harvest did. But again, that's one of the issues, is we're trying to raise that profile because many people don't know about us. And because we're a charity, we don't really have funding to be doing elaborate advertising and so on. But that is a very good charity as well. We have volunteers, but we can use more there too. People who go and pick up and take it to our storage containers, and then anyone who needs it calls in and we pick out what we have for them. And we've worked really quite closely with women coming out of the transition house and been able to furnish several homes completely with all the dishes, appliances, furnishings, bedding, towels, you name it, we have it. And we've been able to help a lot of those ladies and their children get into new premises once they transition out of the safe house.
Is there anything in particular that is in more need than...
Right now, appliances. We take freezers, washers, dryers, fridges, stoves, TVs, radio materials. Anything that somebody uses in a home, we pretty much can use. We have an issue with beds. We don't always have enough beds. Kathy disinfects them and we make sure that they're well cared for. And again, talking about our community, some of the furniture stores in town will make donations to us of various pieces of furniture that they want to get rid of for whatever reason. So again, our community in action and at work, it's wonderful to see it happening, because we have 4 40-foot vans filled with furniture waiting for people to come and get it.
And they would just contact you?
They would contact the NeighborLink phone number, and that number is 250-832-3272. We also have NeighborLink Shoe Swap at hotmail.com if they want to contact us that way. And also on that phone number, you can leave a message or a text. That's how they would get hold of us, and then we'll find out what you need. We have just started helping people who were caught in the fire 2 years ago that are finally getting settled. It's unfortunate that it's taking that long, but it is. And so we've been helping some of them with their furnishings in their rental property that they're in while they're waiting. And some of them are now getting ready to go back into their homes, and we help a lot of them out too. The furnishings and things that we get are really amazing. They're in very, very good shape. We're very particular. We're not just going to haul a bunch of things that somebody isn't going to want. And we also share a lot of that with the church's thrift store. If we can't use it, then we will take it to the church's thrift store as well.
Is there anything you would like to tell the community of Salmon Arm?
I would like to say thank you to them for the support they've given us over the years. We've been able to maintain our status and grow, and that's without any government funding or support. We are very pleased with how generous they are to us, how genuine they are to us. They're always so thrilled and bubbly when they bring their donations in. We have farmers who grow so many things for us, and they start calling me now and saying, I'm bringing in, you know, potatoes and how many and so on. And I'm just so proud of them. I have always lived in a very big community, and I just can't believe how such a small, intimate community can pull together and do the work that this community does, not just for us at Second Harvest, but they're very genuine, they're very generous, and people just love to work with people. They love to see good things happen, and I'm very proud and pleased to be a member of this community.
Thanks for coming in, Val.
Thank you for having me.